Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, This Precious Ground, is written by Mark Siegel. It is presented in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the establishment of the National Women's League of the United Synagogue of America.
These are the words of Matilda Schechter, spoken in the year 1918.
We have lost our way. The world's darkest hours close around us. We need the divine light as never before to guide us aright, to recover some of this precious ground, to restore some of the beautiful ideas in which our women were once supreme. These are our aims and our ideals.
She was not a scientist, nor an explorer, nor an artist. Yet she was all of these, and more. For she understood the composition of the precious ground which is our spiritual heritage, and she explored the ways to save and build that precious ground. Her story begins in a college library in London in the year 1885, before Matilda Roth had changed her name to Matilda Schechter.
I'm sorry, Miss Roth. I should very much like to assist you, but...
That's quite all right. Really, I do understand.
If it were just any book you're after, I could pause for a moment. But you see... Oh, I say, perhaps Mr. Schechter could help you.
Mr. Schechter?
Mr. Schechter.
Psst.
Mr. Schechter. I wonder if I might ask a favor of you.
I've been hoping you would.
I beg your pardon?
I've been waiting at the bookshelf for 5 minutes, wondering how long it would be before you asked me to help, Miss Roth.
Mr. Schechter, how do you know my name?
It's a quiet library, Miss Roth. The librarian has rather a penetrating voice, and I was listening quite carefully.
Really, Mr. Schechter?
Really, Miss Roth, and I'd be delighted to help you find a book on Jewish life in the Middle Ages.
You heard that, too. You have an extraordinarily attentive ear.
Only on extraordinary occasions. It's not often that a young lady asks for so serious a volume.
And you find that odd, Mr. Schechter?
Not odd, Miss Roth. Extraordinary. Delightfully extraordinary.
It seems to me you use the word with condescension.
Oh, quite to the contrary, Miss Roth, with admiration. Also with some curiosity. Are you a teacher?
Why do you ask?
It's a logical question, isn't it? What else would a young lady asking for a serious volume be?
In our times, Mr. Schechter, nothing else. But some years hence, I would hope she might be anything. Does that shock you?
Shock me? Very little shocks me. In fact...
In fact what, Mr. Schechter?
In fact, I share your hopes for the future. It would be wonderful if more women studied for the sake of study, if more women read the great books of our past.
Which brings me, Mr. Schechter...
To your book, Miss Roth. I have it here in my hand.
That was the way they met, in a library in London, by chance. But can we say that it was really by chance? What brought Matilda Roth and Solomon Schechter together was a love of knowledge, a searching after spiritual treasures, a common joy in scholarship. And what brought them together would hold them together through a rich and fruitful lifetime.
Tilda?
Yes, Solomon?
Tilda, there's something Tilda, this is impossible.
What is, Solomon?
Here we are, walking through Hyde Park, the home of free and uninhibited speech, and every word I've ever known has deserted me, absolutely disappeared.
Solomon, You seem to be shrouded in mystery this evening.
I'm not shrouded in mystery. I'm covered with confusion.
I accept the correction.
There, you see, that's how I am.
How? How is it you are, Solomon?
I'm stubborn. I'm constantly editing other people's thoughts. I want things my own way, and I'm absent-minded to the point of rudeness.
Quite the contrary, Solomon. You're a man of willpower, of great logic in thinking, and of intense concentration, which some people mistake for absent-mindedness.
Tilda, you're the most tolerant person I ever met.
Thank you, Solomon.
Also one of the most flattering, and I love to be flattered.
And that's what you wanted to tell me, Solomon?
In part.
And the other part?
Oh, the other part's totally illogical.
Everything in life isn't logic, Solomon.
I'm getting to learn that. Tilda, you're a brilliant young woman. There's absolutely no reason in the world why you should link your life with a headstrong, dominant, overbearing lion who has no prospects but scholarship, who can offer you practically nothing materially, and who will insist on living his own life as he sees it. No reason in the world.
Probably not.
And so it's illogical for me to ask, but I'm going to anyway. Tilda? Tilda, will you do me the honor of becoming my wife?
Of course I will, Solomon. Of course.
Tilda, you don't seem the least bit surprised.
Surprised? I'm not. Solomon, don't you think a girl knows when a man is about to ask that eternally illogical, eternally important question?
They lived first in London, then in the university town of Cambridge, where their three children spent their early years. At Cambridge, Solomon Schechter was pursuing the brilliant career that would take him to Cairo, where he would uncover the greatest biblical manuscript find of the century, the wisdom of Ben Sira, which would be passed forward to a grateful world. But Matilda Schechter, quietly as wife and mother, subordinating herself to the brilliant career of a brilliant husband, was engaged in the very same task, the interpretation of a heritage, the planting of seeds of faith and understanding.
Ruth, Frank, come along now. It's time to kindle the Sabbath candles.
We're coming, Mother.
Frank, wheel the baby's carriage in, too.
You want Amy in here, too?
I want her to see the candles.
But, Mother, Amy's only 2 years old. She can't understand about the Sabbath candles.
Frank, a child is never too young to see the Sabbath candles being kindled.
But I don't understand, Mother. She's just a baby.
You will when you're older, dear. A child is never too young to begin to store up memories.
The lights of faith and understanding burned brightly in Matilda Schechter's heart. It was a light which illumined the life she shared with her husband in England, and then in America, when in the year of 1903, Solomon Schechter accepted the call to serve as president of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. It was no longer Hyde Park in which Matilda and her husband strolled. It was Riverside Drive in New York City. And the matters they discussed were at the heart of the development of Jewish life in the land of their adoption. It had been a fruitful year, and Solomon Schechter had gained the respect and admiration of everyone. One of the many things Solomon Schechter was getting done was the establishment of an institute for teachers at the seminary. And this plan, too, like so many others, he discussed at length with Matilda.
Exactly. An institute. That's what I'm going to propose. A place where we can bring the most promising young men and give them background, methods, techniques.
Solomon, for the first time in years, I'm going to disagree with you.
You don't agree? You don't see the importance of a teacher's institute?
Oh, it's just what's needed here in America.
Well, then why?
But you said young men.
You think they should be old men?
No, Solomon, but young men and young women.
Ah. It would double the difficulty of the project, Tilda.
And the effectiveness of the project, Solomon. You've forgotten that Matilda Roth, the girl you met in a library in London, was a teacher. Naturally, I'm strong in the matter of women teachers' rights.
The Teachers Institute was founded as a co-educational institution in the year 1904. and the students of the Institute, like the students of the School of Rabbinical Studies, found in the home of Matilda Schechter a warm and pleasant haven.
Jacob, have another cup of tea.
Really, Mrs. Schechter, I came to see Dr. Schechter, not to have dinner.
Well, Dr. Schechter's late as usual, and a little snack late in the afternoon can't hurt.
A snack? Soup, meat, dessert, and two cups of tea? I have the terrible feeling that I've eaten the professor's dinner.
Not at all. Another cup of tea?
Well, if you insist, Mrs. Schechter.
I insist. Now, to tell you the truth, I don't think any of you know how to take care of yourselves.
Any of who, Mrs. Schechter?
Any of the students. And I'll include Dr. Schechter. You're all so deep in your studies that you forget to eat. And as far as I can see, none of you get much sleep, either.
I'm afraid that's true, Mrs. Schechter.
But why? Now, why should a boy like you look as tired as you do?
Oh, I'm not really tired.
Oh, I have children of my own, Jacob. I know what tiredness looks like.
Well, perhaps it's a condition of scholarship.
I don't believe it. The seminary's a school, not a hospital. I don't see any reason why students should look like patients. Well, have another piece of pastry, Jacob.
It was more than food and little German pastries that the students of the seminary found in Matilda Schechter's home. It was inspiration, too. The inspiration of a truly Jewish home. On Sabbath afternoons, students and scholars gathered in the Schechter living room for unforgettable conversations with the witty, erudite master of the house. But as Matilda Schechter watched and listened, she was disturbed. Disturbed by the seeming disregard for health which she could see in the faces of the eager youngsters who drank at the fountain of her husband's wisdom. And on a day in the year 1913, her concern and intuition were sadly confirmed.
Solomon? Why, you're home early. Solomon, what is it?
I've had some news, Tilda, some terrible news.
Sit down, Solomon. Now tell me.
It's that brilliant boy, the one I've had such hopes for.
Jacob? Something's happened to Jacob?
All of that eagerness, all of that brilliance. Gone, Tilda. Gone like that.
Well, what are you saying? The boy was here only a few days ago.
His tonsils were bothering him. He was operated on yesterday.
Oh, but that's a minor operation, Solomon. It's nothing.
It's nothing unless the boy is so run down, so tired that he has no resistance. It's nothing, but the boy is dead.
Solomon. How tragic. Oh, how terrible.
It's beyond words, Tilda. Jacob, he's beyond our help.
Oh. And all the other Jacobs, Solomon. Are they beyond our help, too?
In the months that followed the tragic passing of the student she had known, Matilda Schechter could not rest. She turned over in her mind for questions, searching for the answers which would lead her to solutions.
Why? Why should he have died? Under what conditions was he living? The other students, are they living the same way?
Matilda Schechter put her whole will and intelligence into ferreting out the truth. When she had gathered her arsenal of logic, she turned to a close family friend, a man named Louis Brush.
But why do you ask me, Matilda?
Because, Louis, I was sure you'd understand.
I imagine there are other men in New York who'd understand what you've been telling me, Matilda.
Perhaps.
Why, perhaps? Wouldn't anyone understand that a student can't work best in a tiny, airless room? Or that a student can't spend 3 hours a day traveling to school and get enough rest when he's carrying a full program of rabbinical studies? Anyone could understand that.
Perhaps then there's something else you understand, Louis, something a good many men wouldn't.
What's that, Matilda?
That our duty to the scholar is as great as our duty to the orphan. That a student's dormitory is as important to the preservation of our faith as food for our needy brothers. or relief for the oppressed.
You make it difficult for me to refuse, Matilda.
Well, I intend to make it difficult, Louis.
You really needn't, you know. I made up my mind a few minutes after you started talking.
You'll do it? You'll really do it?
I'll find a way. I'll see my lawyer today, Matilda. I'll put the money aside.
Oh, Louis, your name will be blessed for generations.
That wouldn't be fair, Matilda. It should be yours. I'm only the instrument of your compassion.
Not at all, Louis.
Ah, but I am. There's only one question that puzzles me.
I'll answer it if I'm able.
You've always been concerned as much about the girl students as the young men.
Of course.
But how is it, Matilda, that you haven't asked for a young woman's dormitory?
The immediate need is for the rabbinical students, Louis, and first things must be done first.
I see.
But someday there'll be a dormitory for young women, too. You'll see. Perhaps you and I won't live to see it, but it will be done.
How can you be so sure, Matilda?
Sure? Because there will be other people like you, Louis.
Matilda Schechter did not live to see the construction of the Louis S. Brush dormitory. But the imprint of her hands is on every brick of the building, which has been home to countless students through the years. It is a monument to her spirit and to her will, as much as to the generosity of the man whose name the building bears. For Matilda Schechter was a woman of vision, and her creativity reached out to those around her to include them in her dreams, to guide them in the paths of practical achievement. But of all her dreams, none had greater stature than her lively understanding of the power for good of the Jewish woman, an understanding which was deeply respected by the stupendous man of genius who was her husband.
Solomon.
What is it, Tilda?
Solomon, it's almost dawn.
So it is, Tilda. So it is.
I've brought you some tea.
Do you think it's time I got to bed?
Oh, I didn't say that.
But you didn't have to. For 25 years, you've never once told me what to do. There hasn't been a moment in which you weren't telling me exactly without words what I should be doing.
Now, Solomon.
It's an extraordinary gift, Tilda, and you're an extraordinary woman. Why are you smiling?
Extraordinary. It's the word you used the day I met you first in London.
You accused me of using it as a word of condescension, if I remember correctly. I told you then it was a word of admiration. It still is.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, Tilda, for bearing with an unruly bull of an old man who never sleeps, who roars like a lion, and who is about to keep you up until the light breaks.
What is it, Solomon? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I've been writing here. Something of importance. I think I want your opinion.
Of course, Solomon.
Tilda, you know how great the need is to bind together all of our people in America who believe in our tradition, who practice it.
It's what you've been teaching for years.
But the time has come when it's no longer enough to learn and to teach, Tilda. It's time to defend and to do. It's time to revitalize our tradition in America, formally, in an organized way.
And that's what you're working on.
A formal movement. A movement bringing together all of the congregations and all who are members of those congregations who cherish the principles of traditional Judaism. A united synagogue, Tilda. Sharing goals, exchanging ideas, keeping alive the full blossom of our heritage.
It is long overdue, Solomon.
Here is the heart of it, Tilda. Tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
The synagogue and the school are the main centers through which the Jewish home can be reached. They are the very life and soul of Judaism and stand as the great fortresses protecting Jewish life and Jewish thought.
Yes. Yes, that's the heart of the matter, I think, Solomon. But,
Tilda?
May I offer a practical suggestion?
Well, that's why I want you to hear this. You're the only practical person in this household.
Well, then I'll make a practical suggestion, Solomon. Your United Synagogue, it should take special concern for the religious education of women. It's through mothers that you reach children. And the future of our faith rests in the hands of children. And now I'll make another practical suggestion. Don't you think it's time you got some sleep?
In the year 1915, the great heart of Solomon Schechter beat for the last time. Matilda Schechter recovered from her loss as only a woman of valor could, and she drove forward in pursuit of a dream she had shared with her husband, the dream of strengthening Judaism by strengthening the bond of unity among Jewish women. One of the people with whom she discussed her dream was a close friend, one of several women, wives of colleagues of Dr. Schechter, with whom she had developed warm ties over the years.
Well, then it should be done, Matilda, I agree. But can it be done?
Of course it can, if we have the will to do it. And I know we have.
Well, it's not so much the will, Matilda. It's that the idea of a Jewish women's league is so hard to explain.
I think the need is obvious.
Well, perhaps to you, Matilda, and to me. What I mean is that people who are starving or homeless don't have to be explained. And children with trachoma don't have to be explained.
Neither, I think, my dear, does a religious heritage suffering from pernicious anemia. Hmm.
But where are we to find the women who will understand that, Matilda?
We'll find them. We'll find them everywhere.
Well, if we do, who's to direct them? Who's to lead them?
Among others, my dear, you.
I? Why, Matilda, I...
You and I and some of the wonderful women we both know. You know, you and the other professors' wives, you've really been in training for this task all your lives.
I don't understand.
And to be the wife of a Jewish scholar, that takes perseverance and energy and devotion to an ideal.
Mm.
And those are the very attributes we'll need. You have them, and so do all the others.
Matilda, I don't know of how much help I can be, but I'm willing. I think I know how important this is.
I know you do. Because you have something more than just drive and energy. You have the important thing, my dear.
The important thing?
An understanding heart. We need that, too. And I need that, too. I need your support if I'm to accomplish what I've set out to do. I need it now since Solomon's gone, as I've never needed it before.
I'm sorry, Matilda.
Don't be sorry, my dear. Rejoice with me instead. Rejoice with me in the blessing I have known. Rejoice with me in that I shared a dream with a great man. And that the Almighty has given it to me to pursue that dream. My dear, our heritage is so rich, so abundant, so beautiful. Whatever the difficulties, we must find the way to share that heritage with the women of our faith. And as the women study, as they learn, as they tap the rich reservoirs of the Spirit, as they transmit the peace and holiness of our Sabbath and our festivals, not only will faith grow in this land of freedom, the women themselves will grow in warm community and sisterhood. Our Jewish women must not be like ships that pass in the night. They must reach out to each other and find in common the spark of beauty and of faith, which is divine.
She was not a scientist, nor an explorer, nor an artist. Yet she was all of these and more. For she understood the composition of the precious ground, which is our spiritual heritage. And she explored the ways to save and build that precious ground. In this 40th year since she first spoke them, listen again to the words of Matilda Schechter. For her words are words of wisdom. Her dream is a living dream. Her greatness is a living greatness.
We have lost our way. The world's darkest hours close around us. We need the divine light as never before to guide us aright, to recover from some of this precious ground, to restore some of the beautiful ideas in which our women were once supreme. These are our aims and our ideals.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. H. Herbert Rossman, President of the National Women's League of the United Synagogue of America and a prominent civic and community leader. Mrs. Rossman.
In the words of the moving script, which we heard today on the Eternal Light, Matilda Schechter dedicated her life to the dream of strengthening Judaism by strengthening the bond of unity among Jewish women. Mrs. Schechter was in a unique position to further her dream. As the wife of the president of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, she was able to call upon other women who understood the spiritual heritage from the past and who wished to perpetuate the ideals upon which this heritage is based. In all societies, the woman, as wife and mother, is placed in the position of carrying forward day by day, in intimate contact with her family, the values and standards without which society would be rootless and meaningless. The Jewish tradition recognizes the essential role of women, and nowhere more beautifully than in the verse from Proverbs 31, which is recited by the husband on the Sabbath. A woman of worth who can find, for her price is far above rubies, in which the contributions of women to the home and community are extolled. But what Matilda Schechter realized to be most important, and herein lies her special contribution, was the need to interpret the heritage from the past, the need for women to be educated in their role in order to restore the ideals of the past in the light of the needs of the present. Goethe once said, "That which you have inherited from your forefathers, achieve it if you would possess it." In a world still darkened by fears, women of this generation have an opportunity to flourish in their most creative and dynamic form if they would but avail themselves of the opportunities afforded them for study and service. One of the basic teachings of Judaism states, "The study and teaching of Torah is the fundamental and the supreme virtue, for Torah leads to proper action." Familiar with the great ethical concepts of our faith, our wisdom and our energies can be directed with humility and gratitude toward serving God, our families, our society, and all of God's people on this blessed earth.
Thank you, Mrs. Rossman. Our Eternal Light drama today, This Precious Ground, was written by Mark Siegel and was presented in celebration of the 40th anniversary, the establishment of the National Women's League of the United Synagogue of America. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Today, Jan Minor starred as Matilda Schechter and Roger DeCoven as Solomon Schechter. Others in the cast were Guy Repp, Alice Uhrman, Ronald List, and Ronnie Gates. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.